Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 16. We're once again continuing our series through the book of Acts that we titled The Force Awakens. Now, if you were with us last week, you had the pleasure of listening to my wife, Stacy, share from chapter 16 about the difference between our agenda and God's mission, right? Now, many of you know my wife, she dreads speaking. She hates getting up here in front of people. She will tell you she only does it out of obedience to the Lord because God has told her to do that. But here's the thing. Though she dreads it and though it's hard for her, when she does speak, she brings it. And if you were here, you got to experience that last week. It's always amazing. And so if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go online and listen to her message. You can go on to dallas4.com and follow the links there. You can, a lot of times we put them on Facebook, our Facebook page, or you can subscribe on iTunes too and listen to the messages. And so those are the different ways, but you can go. But I encourage you, if you didn't get to hear last week, to go and to listen to that message online. Well, this morning, we're going to finish up chapter 16 as our messages have been overlapping the last few weeks. I started off a few weeks ago with verses 1 through 10, and then again, Stacy last week overlapped, took 6 through 34. And this morning, we're going to take a look at 16 through 40. And I'm excited about this message this morning, okay? Maybe more excited than I've been about any other message since I've been here, except for maybe our first, as we launched the church. I don't know. But if you are on our mailing list, you should have received a postcard in the mail this week. It should have come Friday or Saturday into the mail. And it was simply encouraging you to be here. And the reason is I'm going to share some specific things that God put on my heart for us as a church for this next year. And I'm going to actually share these things in the midst of our message this morning, which to me, it's an amazing thing because it demonstrates God's perfect timing, right, in our lives. The timing of coming to this section in chapter 16, at the same time after me going away to pray and to be with the Lord. And then also, if you go through the little Bible reading plan that we have, we actually read chapter 16 on, I think it was Friday this week, took us through Acts chapter 16. So this accumulation of all these things coming together for what God wants to speak to us today. And so I'm excited, and it's just amazing how God works and how He integrates. Well, I was going to say intricately brings things together. So thanks for, apparently we're not perfect. We don't really finish each other's sentences. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Acts 16, verses 16 through 40. It says this: "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the orders, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. As Stacy talked about last week, Paul was on a mission. He was on a mission. He was seeking to follow Jesus and to see His will, God's will, fulfilled in his life and the lives of those that he came in contact with. And at the end of this chapter, we see the jailer and his whole family, the entire family, come to know Jesus. God's mission was being fulfilled through Paul and Silas here in these scriptures. And the reality is God wants to see that mission to be continually fulfilled today through us, through our lives. In these verses this morning, we see this jailer come to know Jesus, and it's because of Paul and Silas's willingness to share Jesus with others. Something that all of us are called to do. And so this morning, I want to share three things that I believe that we can learn from these verses about sharing Jesus with others. And so the first thing is this: sharing Jesus with others often requires sacrifice. Yeah! Right? Isn't that exciting? Sacrifice. Sharing Jesus with others often requires sacrifice. If we want to help extend God's kingdom, oftentimes it's going to require sacrifice from us. Paul and Silas find themselves being stripped and beaten for sharing their faith. They find themselves here in prison. And it's what my wife talked about last week. Giving up our agenda for God's mission. They were giving up their comfortable lives to live the life that God had called them to live out His mission. Now, if you've been here very long, or you even heard me this morning, but each week you hear me pray the same prayer before I speak. And it's actually a prayer of John the Baptist that you may remember, where it says, "Let me decrease so that you might increase." And it's this idea of sacrificing our will and our desire for His. Less of me, more of you, Lord. And the interesting thing here about this story is this. The fact is, Paul and Silas, they could have kept themselves from being stripped and beaten. They could have kept themselves from being thrown in prison in the first place. Listen to what it says in verses 36 through 38. It says, "The jailer told Paul, 'The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace.' But Paul said to the officers, 'They beat us publicly without trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us.'" In verse 38 it says this, "The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed." Maybe a better word was, they were afraid. Right? Why were they alarmed? Why were they afraid? Why were they worried? And it's because they realized they had messed up. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, and if they would have spoke up, if they would have shared that, they wouldn't have been beaten. They wouldn't have been put in prison without a proper trial. These guys, they messed up, but Paul and Silas could have spoke up. Now, we don't know for sure. The Scripture doesn't tell us why they didn't speak up. Now, I have my opinions. You know, my guess is that they were following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because we see that with Paul and Silas. We see that with Paul all through Acts, right? You know, the Spirit kept them from doing this. That they listened to the Holy Spirit. And so my guess is that they were following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but for whatever reason, they didn't. And because of that, they were in jail. And because of where they were in that moment and in that time, this jailer and his entire family end up coming to know Jesus. I don't think it was an accident that they didn't speak up. God wanted to use them to help bring this jailer to Jesus. The truth is, it may cost us something if we seek to share Jesus with others. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: are we willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit if it means sacrificing our own comfort for the sake of them, for the sake of others? And here's the thing, I believe it's possible for us to miss God's will and plan for our lives. We see it all the time. Simply because we're not willing to sacrifice our own desires for the sake of the kingdom. Do we trust God enough to believe that whatever He may ask us to do is worth it? Do we trust God enough? Think about that. God of the universe, do we trust that whatever He may ask us to do is worth it? Do we trust that the lives that will be impacted will be worth our sacrifice? That if I do this for the Lord, if I'm willing to sacrifice those that come to know Him through that, that it's worth it. The sacrifice I gave, I'll tell you what, Jesus, the sacrifice He gave, He believes it's worth it for us. And He died for us while we were yet sinners. In 1 Corinthians 9, 22 through 23, Paul writes this: "To the weak, I became weak." Why? "To win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing." You know, we may struggle with believing that it's worth it on this side of things, in this fallen world. But I know that when we get to the other side, when we get to the other side of eternity, we're going to realize that it was worth it. It was worth it. Paul was willing to sacrifice anything. Anything. Look at the life of Paul even before this point, right? I mean, he's sharing the gospel. He's getting stones thrown at him where they think he's dead, drag him outside the city. He gets back up, goes right back into the city and shares the gospel. Paul is willing to sacrifice anything for the sake of sharing the good news about Jesus with others. And if we're going to be faithful to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and share Jesus with others, oftentimes it's going to require sacrifice. Now, the second thing I want to share with you this morning from these scriptures is this. Sharing Jesus with others often starts with prayer. It often starts with prayer. In verse 25, here we see that before the earthquake happened, before the doors flew open, before the jailer got saved, what were Paul and Silas doing? They were praying and they were worshiping the Lord. In the midst of prison, in the midst of their sacrifice, they were praying to the Lord. They were seeking Him and worshiping Him. And I believe that prayer plays a huge part in seeing people come to know Jesus. It opens the door for the movement of the Holy Spirit. How many of us are here today seeking to live our life for the Lord because of the prayers of our parents or our grandparents who faithfully prayed for us and lifted us up? And I believe that this is something that God is desiring for us as a church. To be people who faithfully pray for others, to see others come to the Lord. Many of you know, again, as I shared even earlier, that a week and a half ago, I went away for a few days just to be with the Lord. I try to do that every year. I try to just get away and just take some time to quiet my mind, to quiet myself, to be with the Lord. And my desire for that time is just to hear the Lord for this next year for our church. God, what do you want to do? What are you speaking? Is there things that you're calling us to do? You know, give you an example. One of the first times I went, that's when the Lord said, I want you to pray for other churches. And so in these times, God speaks things to me for our church and what He wants of us and how He wants us to move forward. And I was just praying for God to give me some vision and some clarity when it comes to what He wants for us this year in 2017. And so as I left out of Dallas that Monday afternoon, I had kind of just put some worship on the... It's not a tape deck anymore. What do you call it? No, it's not even a CD. Bluetooth player, I guess? I don't know. It plays from my phone, whatever it is. I don't know. Someone gave us that as a gift, and it was an awesome thing. And so I just I put that, so it played in my car, okay? So I had just some worship playing, and I just, as the worship was playing, I just began to pray. And my biggest thing was Lord, please speak to me this week, you know? I mean, especially because I shared and you guys prayed over me and I was like, I don't want to come back with nothing, right? What did you hear? What did God do? I don't know. I didn't hear anything, you know? And so basically, I mean, I was just praying, Lord, speak to me. Just speak to this week. I want to hear your voice. And the crazy thing is it was within 20 minutes of leaving out of Dallas. It was actually right as I was turning on Hebo Road. I was going out to Pacific City. And as I turned on Hebo Road, one of the worship songs just hit me. And this morning I want to take a moment just to play the first part of that song for you. Because the words, as I heard it, the Lord just began to speak to me. And as you listen to this song, because I've actually put the words with it, I want you to focus. I want you to listen to those words and hear those words, because I believe God has given us this song as kind of an anthem for Dallas Foursquare Church this year. And so let's listen to this, and then I'm going to explain what the Lord spoke to me during that time.
Victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see.
This is an amazingly powerful song, especially if you listen to the whole song. But I just wanted you to get that first section this morning. And if you didn't know, this song is actually a scripture out of Ezekiel 37. It's this vision that Ezekiel had of God bringing His people back to life, these dry bones coming alive here in the desert. And I believe that it's a picture of what Jesus does in us through salvation, right? That we were once these dead, dry bones, and He gave us new life in Him. And this idea of crying out to dead bones, which I got to say this, until I put the words last night into that song, I swore she said, we cry out to dead bones, okay? So you're going to hear me talk about, say, cry when she actually says we call out anyways. Not that you might have even picked up that I did that, but I realized, I'm like, dang, everything I've done is cry. I keep saying cry throughout my message and whatnot, but it's that idea of just calling out, crying out. You know, maybe I didn't cry out because I think in desperation, crying out for dry bones to come alive. But this idea of crying out to dead bones is this prayer for God to breathe life into those who don't have life. And what I'm talking about is that life in Him. Those who haven't experienced the new life in Christ that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Those prodigals. I love that line. Those prodigals who have lost their way and who have forgotten the power of His love. So as I'm in my car and as the chorus of that song played, the Lord just spoke to me and said these words. He said, that is what I want from Dallas Four Square Church this year. And all I was hearing was, as we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. And the Lord said, that's what I want from Dallas Four Square Church this year. I want you to be a church that cries out for these dead bones to come alive. I want you to be a church that cries out for the hurting and the broken and the prodigals in our community to come alive in Me. Now, needless to say, those of you that know me, as God spoke those words, I just began to bawl. I mean, one, just that God would desire that for us to be a church that just prays for the unsaved in our community. I just began to bawl. But then I'm starting to think, well, as I'm bawling, okay, God, but how? What does that mean? How do we cry out for dead bones to come alive? And He immediately responded to me saying, by praying. By praying. I want you to make it a priority this year to pray for those who don't know Me. To pray for those who have given up on Me. To pray for our family members, to pray for our friends, to pray for our neighbors, for our co-workers. To be people who faithfully intercede and pray for the dry bones all throughout our community to come alive. And I believe that if we want to be people who share Jesus with others and truly see people come to know Him, it starts with prayer. It starts with lifting them up. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about that is this. And this hit me so hard. Those dry bones have names. Those dry bones, they have names. And He's calling us to pray for those dry bones by name. He wants us to pray for them by name. And it's great for us to pray for the lost in our community. And we can do that. And I do that. I drive around this city each week in different areas of the communities. And as I drive around, I just pray for the people in those houses. I don't know their names. And I just pray, Lord, that You would lead these people to Jesus. So it's okay to pray in that way. To pray for those. But there's something powerful when we speak their names. When we speak a name specifically, when we speak the names of our family members, when we speak the names of our friends, of our neighbors, of our co-workers, and say, Lord, I want to spend eternity with them too. I want them to be a part of Your kingdom. I want to lift them up. I want to pray for them. And here's the thing. I believe that the Lord is calling us to do this year. And I believe if we're faithful to make praying for them a priority, that we're going to see results. That we're going to see people rise up from the ashes to be who God's called them to be. Which kind of leads me to the final thing that we see in these scriptures about sharing Jesus with others, which is this. Sharing Jesus with others often changes lives. And not just for today, but for eternity. We see in these scriptures the jailer and his entire family come to know Jesus. Lives were changed. God's desire, he tells us this in the scriptures, that his desire is that none should perish. His desire is that all would come to know him. And the reality is he uses us to help change lives. He uses us to help extend his kingdom, to draw people to him. When we're faithful to pray for people, when we're faithful to when we're faithful to love these people in the way that Jesus loves them, and when we're faithful to open our hearts to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and share Jesus with others, there is potential to see lives changed. We see here all throughout Acts, Paul, he was on a mission to share Jesus with others, and God has given us that same mission to let people know of his love, to let people know the truth of who he is. Because I think a lot of people have a skewed view of who God is, and that's because they've seen a lot of religion over the years and not relationship. They've seen a lot of rules and guidelines and not God's grace and forgiveness. And we want to share the true Jesus with others. His love, his grace, his compassion. And in doing so, we want to see his kingdom extended. And so God is calling us to be a church that cries out to dry bones this year. And as we seek to move forward in that, I believe that God is going to show us more and more what that will look like as a church. I believe over this year we're going to see some things develop and what that's going to look like. What does that mean to pray? We might see some different things happening. You know, I know I shared this with someone in prayer that wasn't going to be here this morning in our prayer Tuesday prayer time, and they weren't going to be here today. And they said, can you tell us just a snippet of what you're going to share on Sunday? And I said, sure, let me just share with you. And she made a comment saying, you know, what if we mapped out the city and we just had people specifically pray for that area of that city or walk around that area and just pray? And I said, that's a great idea. And it just made me think there are ideas and things that God is going to give us as we move forward on what it looks like for us this year to cry out to the dry bones around us. I have a few things this morning that he's put on my heart that I'm going to share with you, but let's pray first. And then we're going to wrap some things up with worship and some different stuff that we're going to do today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. And Lord, as we look through the gospel, Lord, as we look through the book of Acts, Lord, we understand and we realize what it's about. Lord, we're told from the beginning that you were going to give your Spirit so that they could go and to share the gospel to all nations. And that's what you've called us to do, Lord, to be people who share Jesus with others. It's the calling that you have placed on our lives. As we become Christians, we take on that calling. Yes, we receive the grace, we receive the life that comes from you, but now we have this calling to go and to be who you've called us to be and to live the lives you've called us to live and to share Jesus with others. And so we want to do that well. And Lord, we just pray that you show each of us as individuals, even right now as we're in this room, Lord, that you would just put names upon our hearts, Lord, of those that you want to draw into your presence. And that, Lord, we would make it a priority this year to lift up those names, to regularly pray for those people that they would come to know you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as a church, Lord, that we would hear your voice. What does that look like for us? How do we cry out to those dry bones? How do we pray for lives to be changed? And so, Lord, we come before you And we give you this word, Lord. We want to be obedient. As we shared a few weeks ago, it's not enough just to listen to what the Lord said. Lord, I heard you when I was away. I heard this calling that you've put on us as a church. I've heard, but now we must obey. And so, Lord, how do we walk in obedience and carry out, Lord, this mission that you've given us as a church? And we pray that you would help us to unfold that and unpack that as we move throughout this year, Lord. And so we thank you for these things. We give them to you. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.